Saturday, April 26th. The Epistle from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Dearly beloved, wherefore, laying away all malice and all guile and dissimulations and envies and all detractions, as newborn babes desire the rational milk without guile, that thereby you may grow unto salvation, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is sweet. Unto whom coming, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen and made honorable by God, be you also as living stones built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore it is said in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that shall believe in him shall not be confounded. To you therefore that believe, he is honor, but to them that believe not, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of scandal to them who stumble at the word, neither do believe, whereunto also they are set. But you are a chosen generation, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people, that you may declare his virtues, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Haydock Commentary. St. Peter, having put them in mind of the great benefit of Christ's coming to redeem us from sin, exhorts them to avoid sin, to lead a life worthy of their vocation, to follow Christ's doctrine and imitate his example. Desire the rational milk without guile. The sense is, follow the pure doctrine of the gospel without mixture of errors. Whoever has a relish for Jesus Christ has also for his word, and such as have a relish for neither are truly deplorable. Let us pray then that God would feed us with his word and with the Holy Eucharist that contains his body and blood, his soul and his divinity, that we may thereby grow up to salvation. Christ is the chief foundation of his church, the cornerstone of the building, whom the Jews and other obstinate unbelievers reject to their own condemnation and destruction. He calls them a holy priesthood and a royal priesthood, first because they had ministers of God who were truly and properly priests, of whom Christ is the chief, and two, because every good Christian in a less proper sense may be called a priest, inasmuch as he offers to God what in a less proper and metaphorical sense may be called sacrifices and oblations, that is, the sacrifice of a humble and contrite heart, the sacrifice of self-denials and mortifications, of prayer, alms deeds, etc. And it is called royal, as Christians may be called metaphorically kings by governing their passions, or because they are invited to reign with Christ in his kingdom, to sit on his throne. See Revelation 3:21. God is not the cause of sins or damnation, because his will is that everyone be saved, but his justice has appointed and decreed punishments against those who, by their own willful malice, refuse to believe and to follow his doctrine. Their stumbling against this stone is willful and obstinate. You are a purchased people, whom Christ purchased, bought, and redeemed with the price of his precious blood, that you may declare his virtues, that is, the excellencies and perfections of God, who hath called you and now made you his people, which you were not, at least in this matter, before, neither you that were Jews, nor especially you that were Gentiles. The Gospel from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. At that time, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene cometh early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and she saw the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She ran therefore and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out, and that other disciple, and they came to the sepulchre, and they both ran together, and that other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And when he stooped down, he saw the linen cloths lying, but yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that had been about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but apart, wrapped up into one place. Then that other disciple also went in, who came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Haydock Commentary. As our Savior had been interred in great haste, the holy women who had before accompanied Jesus in all his journeys brought perfumes to embalm his sacred body again, in a manner more proper than Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had been able to do before. Christ rose again, leaving the stone and seal still lying on the sepulchre. But as this was to be believed by others also after the resurrection, the tomb was opened, and thus the belief of what had taken place propagated. This it was that struck Magdalene, for as soon as she saw the stone rolled from the sepulchre, without entering or even looking into it, she immediately ran in the ardor of her affection to carry the news to the disciples. So says St. John Chrysostom. Christ's body being buried with myrrh, the linen would stick as fast to the body as would pitch, so that it would be impossible to steal or take away the body without the linen cloths. He saw and believed. He did not yet believe that Jesus was risen from the dead, because he was still ignorant that he was to rise from the dead. For although the apostles had so often heard their divine master speak in the most plain terms of his resurrection, still being so much accustomed to parables, they did not understand, and imagined something else was meant by these words. So says St. Augustine.